Look, he threw some information as was posted on the... they have some great ideas and news releases and things, little tips for different topics on the Iowa State University Extension website. You know, you sometimes think the Extension Service is really about agriculture, and it's you'd be wrong. It's really about a lot of different things. It's about life in general, and they tend to have some neat articles on some different things. And happen to notice one here about teen drug and alcohol use and abuse. You know, those are kind of things that we'd like to just kind of push off in the distance somewhere. And, you know, I'm sure every parent would like to think my child doesn't do that type of thing. But how much do you really know about your child? When they walk out the door, you may or may not know as much as you think. And the trends over the past 3 years tend to indicate that teens are more likely to think that it's okay to get drunk or to use marijuana and other types of drugs. And prevention advocates are issuing a wake-up call to parents in this month's Science of Parenting radio program podcast, which you can listen to on the Iowa State University Extension website. Now, Steve Klein, who's the Deputy Director of Field Operations for Partnership at DrugFree.org, said that teens are more accepting that it's okay to go out and get drunk on Friday night. Usage of marijuana is up. Usage of things like ecstasy, which we haven't seen for a while, is back on the radar screen. So he says it's disturbing, and we think it's a red flag and a big warning for parents to get involved in their kids' lives and to learn more about what's going on. Now, Peter Komandowski, who's president of the Partnership for a Drug-Free Iowa and the program Face It Together, says finding out about children's real drug and alcohol use is easier said than done. He says no matter how easy it is to tell parents to talk to their children, you know, there really aren't a set of rules that make it easy for that engagement to happen in a constructive way. And if you have teenagers, or if you are around teenagers, I don't have any children, but I spend a lot of time around them going to ball games and covering county fairs and things like that. You kind of get an idea that they have their own way of thinking, and sometimes it doesn't really jive with those of us adults that are around. Well, many times parents think they've maybe talked seriously to their kids about drugs and alcohol, but their kids don't necessarily view the conversation the same way. Komandowski says there's a little bit of a disconnection because children and parents don't necessarily interact well. Didn't need to tell us that, did he?
You think so?
he said we need tools and we need some help. So, and he said an added complication is dishonesty. You know, when parents won't admit or children deny their own use of drugs and alcohol, you know, that just widens the gap. Klein says that they recommend absolutely being honest. If you're not honest, it can come back and kick you in the head at a later time, and then your whole credibility is shot. Now, for example, parents don't need to give necessarily any specific details, but you can state that what they did in college isn't necessarily what their kids should do now, and parents need to focus on drug and alcohol issues that their kids are facing today. And Komandowski goes on to say that parents that do successfully engage their children in discussion about drugs and alcohol use affect a very significant reduction in abuse by those particular children. He said you want to spend as much time with your children as all the other things they do. If you can match the time that they spend on the internet and TV with quality time between the two of you, then say maybe 20 hours each, then that would be actually pretty good. Klein also agreed that spending time with kids is important for parents as well as extended family, caregivers, coaches, mentors, clergy, teachers, and whoever else may be significant people in a young person's life. And we sometimes overlook some of those other things, too. It's, you know, as parents, you want to be the ones that are teaching your child the morals and the values that you would like them to carry throughout their lives. However, you can't be with them 24 hours a day. That's one of the reasons why athletics and other extracurricular activities and programs, 4-H and FFA, things like that, things that keep the child engaged and also keep them around people who are good mentors for them, even if it doesn't happen to be a parent, can be good things. The more time they spend in the company of those types of people, the less time they spend with those activities that you really don't want your kids involved in, or those type of people who can maybe sway your child to be involved in that kind of different activity. Now, they do also go on and toss out some different pamphlets and things that have some different helpful tips and stuff. And one of them says it was entitled 10 Principles for Parenting Your Teen. Now, it's always difficult to sit here and talk about, you know, how to take care of the kids and stuff. But Iowa State University Extension put this quick little list together as just kind of a set of reminders about certain issues. Number one is remember that parents, of course, do matter. They make a difference in the life of your teen because you provide guidance and support. At times, it may seem like your teen doesn't want you around. However, your child really does need you, and they need to know that you care. Remember, we were all teenagers at one time as well, and if you try to remember what some of the feelings and emotions that you had at that time and some of the things you were going through, then maybe you can come at it from a little bit different angle. Also, stay warm and close. They say stay warm and close. It's impossible to love your teen too. It's impossible to love your teen too much, so make sure you spoil your teen with love and support every day. And spend time together, you know, even if it's just at meals. Remember to say I love you to your children as well. Stay involved with your teen's life. Ask questions about schoolwork and friends, and make sure you attend your teen's extracurricular activities. Teens do need to know that you're interested in them just as much now as you were when they were just wee little tots. Also, make sure you set limits and provide some structure. You want to clearly communicate expectations to your teen. Rules and expectations should change throughout your child's life, but children of all ages do need a clear set of rules to follow. Also, you want to make sure you enforce the rules and the consequences. You need to let your teen know what the consequences of breaking rules will be ahead of time, and you make sure you follow through on enforcing those punishments when it's necessary. And they also suggest that you be consistent. Parents should discuss and agree on basic parenting principles for guiding their children, and then be consistent each day in every situation. Mixed messages from parents can lead to frustration for both parents and children, and children need consistency to help them structure their own lives as well. Boy, we've seen that too. Children have a little bit of deviousness in them from about the time they can start talking. And if they sense any weakness in one or the other parent, it's amazing how quickly they will exploit that.
Funny how often it's usually dad. Although I guess it changes for some other families. All the people I knew.
It's interesting to see how some of that stuff gets turned around real fast, especially when they really want something. Number seven, it says explain yourself and engage your teen in decisions and conversations. You want to discuss the reasons for rules and consequences with the teen. It doesn't mean that the rules or consequences will change necessarily, but it can help your teen understand the reasons that you have these rules and then respect you as well. Teens don't respect authority when it just seems arbitrary. They want to see reasons for it. Number eight is don't use harsh discipline. Now, harsh discipline, like yelling or slapping, is not an effective long-term approach to discipline, especially at that age. Now, those types of things can work more with younger students or younger children because they'll remember that. It's something they can remember for a long time. Don't do that again or this happens. But with teens, logic tends to step in a little bit, and that doesn't register. So disciplining your teen when you're angry sometimes doesn't work as well. Instead, sometimes it's easier to make arrangements to talk to the teen at a later time when wisdom and good judgment instead of anger can guide your disciplined choices. Also, number nine is treat your teen with respect because they're growing up. So you want to acknowledge your teen's increasing independence and ability to make decisions. Otherwise, they come back with that, I'm an adult. I can do what I want. And then you get the answer back, not as long as you're living under my roof. How many times have we heard that discussion go
on? Many.
So you want to guide your teen in making positive choices, but realize that he or she will make mistakes. I think about half of the situation comedies over the history of television were written about the confrontations between adults and teenagers.
Would we even have sitcoms if that didn't exist?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, exactly.
There wouldn't be a lot of them, that's for sure. And then 10 is understand adolescence is a period of change for both the parents and the children. It's not just children who are changing. As a parent, you are changing as well as you develop new information and skills to help guide your teen. And, of course, your teen is changing physically, emotionally, and cognitively. So you want to look for resources to help you understand the changes that the teen is going through, and there are a lot of those out there. So, yeah, everybody's changing during those tough times because you have to kind of change the way you deal with the youngsters as they get a little bit older, too. And even though we were young once, doesn't necessarily mean we always understand everything there is about parenting, too. It's the first time your teen's being a teen, and it's the first time that you're having to deal with this from the other side of the fence, too. So if you need some additional assistance, there are a lot of resources out there. have a question of the day yesterday at the county fair, too, and we're going to tell you all about that and those results. And I had a little funny about that here, too. We'll tell you about that here in just a moment. First, though, we want you to listen to this from the folks at Camlin Plumbing and Heating.
Your Lennox dealer is Camlin Plumbing and Heating in downtown Atlantic and Harlan. Lennox has been improving and refining home comfort since 1895. Lennox heating and cooling systems are designed for the best performance and quality. They have a reputation of 115 years of comfort, reliability, and efficiency. If you demand the best and won't settle for less, Lennox belongs in your home. Lennox offers state-of-the-art engineering, high-efficiency heating and cooling, along with quiet performance that you won't find in other brands. Lennox never stops searching for ways to improve your world with heating and cooling products that are more comfortable, durable, reliable, and efficient. Consumers and competitors alike look for the highest standards of excellence in the home comfort industry. Leave it to Lennox to combine comfortable home heating and cooling into their high-efficiency units. See your Lennox dealer, Camlin Plumbing and Heating, in Atlantic. Give them a call at 243-1512 or in Harlan, call 755-3286.
Well, each day at the Cass County Fair, Monday through Thursday, we toss out a question of the day. Hy-Vee sponsors that, and we give away a $10 gift card to one of those who answered the question of the day each morning as well. Yesterday's question of the day, because it's been kind of all the talk, or at least all the talk on TV these days, and the way we wrote the question was not asking you a specific dollar figure, but do you even understand the whole debate about the federal debt ceiling? Do you get it? Do you really understand what that's all about? And we had people drop their cards in the box yesterday, and we had 57 folks say yes, and 65 say no, they don't know, or don't care, quite frankly. Who knows? We drew a card out each and every day, as we do, and that person gets a $10 gift card from Hy-Vee here in Atlantic, and our winner today is Shirley Beerbaum of Griswold. So congratulations to Shirley Beerbaum of Griswold. We'll have a $10 Hy-Vee gift card here for you. I did have one, though, that I thought was kind of funny as I pulled one out. It didn't have a name or address or phone number or anything on it, but somebody desperately wanted to write a comment. And
right.
When we asked them about the federal debt ceiling, do you really understand that whole debate, their answer was, yes, it is an imaginary number dreamed up to keep the middle class broke.
That's an interesting anonymous answer.
Now, I drew Shirley's card out. With all due respect to Shirley, had this person put a name on this, I'd have probably just by default given them a $10 gift card from Hy-Vee just because that was a great answer. So,
yep.
Make sure you stop by today. Again, we'll be out at the booth live from 1 to 7 this afternoon. Stop by the KJAN booth when you're out of the commercial buildings and answer today's question of the day for us. You go make it a great day, and God bless America.